It's NBA Australia. How you going? Welcome to NBA Australia for Tuesday, December 12th. This is NBA Australia. It's your daily podcast stop for all things NBA with a dash of Australia over there. I'm James Clements, a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Jurong Guys NBA podcast, though I'm a full-grown man. And I'm here in Lariama Studios, New York City, New York. Nicely enough today, not staring down eight weird Russian-looking dudes on the roof across the street from us because it's too cold out. There you go. I'm here delivering daily breakdowns of the hottest of hot NBA storylines. Who's doing what, how they're doing it, where they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today, of course. And so we're talking about what happened last night in the NBA, talking a bunch of smack about a bunch of other NBA junk. And of course, we cover off what the Australian players are up to every day. It's pretty good. And today we also have our Shane Heal Memorial Shoot Your Shot Random Guy Amazing Performance Hall of Fame. Love it. We check in on Mangok Mathiang. Hey, got some news there for the big Australian. And all the usual dumb segments like that's not a knife, that's a knife. Look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day and the award-winning, yeah, nah. And, of course, everybody's favorite, we welcome him back. It's Tuesday, so that means we have Joe Ingles, HR manager, swinging by. Plus, we wrap all the games from last night and preview every NBA game for tonight. Man, it's NBA Australia. So much going on. Let's go. Let's do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. All right. It's NBA Australia. I'm loving this. How much fun. Well, you know what we do? The first thing every day is, of course, the daily whip around. We catch up on all things NBA. What happened last night? We're going to start with news. Matt Barnes retired, presumably so he can go and start fights with Derek Fisher full-time. It's a damn shame. Love me some Matt Barnes. He wrote on his Instagram, had a cool 15-year run, traveled the world, met a lot of cool people. Some will be brothers for the rest of my life. But now, you're telling me I can dress like this for business meetings and make money, more money off the court than I made on? And spend more time with my kids? Ha! Me? The one that wasn't supposed to be shit and ended up making it? Let's do it. Love me or hate me. I did it my way. Yes, you did, Matt Barnes. I loved it. And you did your way for 9 different teams. Pretty good for a second round draft pick out of UCLA. He averaged 8.2 points and 4.6 rebounds and about 3.5 fights per game in his career. Won a title last year with the Warriors, which is pretty great. So he bookends a career of being a part of the We Believe Warriors in 2007 that popped the Dallas Mavericks and comes back around in 2017 and wins a fucking title with the most dominating iteration of the Warriors. That's unreal. Good job, Matt Barnes. Love you. All right, how about Kawhi? Looking like he'll be back tonight, which is kind of cool considering we've spent this entire season so far without like one of our MVP candidates and the Spurs are still out there smashing because you know what the Spurs do. The Spurs just go Spurs. They're out there like third in the West. No one's talking about them. They're killing motherfuckers. Just, you know, Spurs are going Spurs in 19-8, dude. Jesus. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's get into the game, shall we? That sounds like something we should do. Love me some game wraps. So let's do it. All right. Now, in terms of things that are expected and unexpected, if I were to tell you the number one seed in the East went into the team that was the bottom team in the East last night, you'd probably expect the top one to win. And you would have been fucking wrong, son, because the Bulls smashed the Celtics 108-85. Jesus. Damn, Bulls. Y'all done fucking this whole tank and shit up. You've won 3 in a row. What the crap are you doing? I mean, sure, but still. Even with no Lowry, that's a girl's name marketing, the Bulls win this. The old 1-2 punch of Nikola Mirotic at 24-8 with one block, and Bobby Portis, who, remember, beat the fucking shit out of Mirotic in the preseason. He had a career-high 23 points and 4 rebounds, and Chris Dunn had 12-4-3. Jesus, man, the Bulls steamrolled the Celtics. No Kyrie with a bruised left quad. Horford had an okay game. The problem was Jason Tatum had a bad game, 1 of 7. Just an all-round kind of shit show from the Celtics. You know they had to lay a bit of an egg at some point, but against the fucking Bulls, did not see that coming. Next up, Pelicans go to Houston and they lose it. They were up by 13, the old Pelicans, and then Harden just kept lobbing the ball to Clint Capella, who just kept dunking his way to a career-high 28 fucking points. This is unbelievable. This Harden-Capella thing was just unstoppable. Capella's line is 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 blocks, while Harden's line is 26 points, 17 assists, and 6 steals. Jesus. Chris Paul had 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. And Eric Gordon had 27 off the bench. No wonder they got to 130. Jesus. It's unbelievable. The best part is that of all those assists for Harden, 17 of them, 11 of them were lobs to Capella. We're going to talk about that more a little bit later. Rondo here had a triple-double. He had 13 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists, and almost had the quadruple-double with 8 turnovers. I didn't know Rondo on you. Boogie had 24 and 14. Jrue Holiday, though, put up a line, man. Jrue coming good. He had 37 points. And Etuan Moore, that Etuan Moore. Yes, the Etuan Moore had 36. Jesus. How's that Rockets D coming on? Not great. Still, Rockets come from behind and smoke him. This was a very, very fun second half. Good game. Boogie just couldn't really get it going in sort of towards the back end, and Rockets just steamrolled him. Tough, man, tough. Heat go to Memphis and smoke the Grizz in a 25-point win, 107-82 in Memphis. Jesus, Marc Gasol must have been handing out ribs beforehand. Everybody contributed for the Heat, 7 double-digit scorers. Memphis just sucked, man. Still no Conley. Gasol had 19-6, but just fucking gross elsewhere. How about the Hornets at Thunder? Speaking of fucking gross, the Thunder lose this 116-103. This is the Hornets without, like, Cody Zeller and Dwight Howard out there doing work with 23-7. But what do we say here at NBA Australia? Fuck Dwight Howard. All right. Kemba Walker at 19-9. Good times. Thunder got Paul George back, but you know what? Didn't really matter. Didn't matter at all because that was still horrible. Paul George had 20-5. Melo had 11-2-2. Rusty had 34-7. And absolutely nothing from the Thunder bench, though. Two Pats, where you at, son? Come on. Everybody's like, Patrick Patterson, that's going to be an underrated, amazing signing for the Thunder. And you know what? It was, but Jesus Christ, man, you got to actually play good. You got to back that shit up, Patrick. Blazers go to Golden State. They hang out in Oakland. Dame's hometown. And unfortunately, they lose. Warriors 111, Blazers 104. Game of the night, it was fun as hell. CJ and Dame took it to the coward Kevin Durant. The Blazers just wouldn't go away in this game. Warriors up like 20 and Blazers just hung around. Just like, you know, it's one of those old, like you walk in, your dad dropped his guts like a little while ago. You're like, God damn, how's it still smelling here? That's what the Blazers were last night. Dame had a massive 39 points. CJ couldn't quite get it going though. That was a bit of a bummer. And because they got absolutely fucking nothing else, the Blazers. They look lost. They had nothing from Aminu, Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh, nothing from Myers Leonard, nothing from really Pat Connaughton either, and like 10 points from Evan Turner, the villain. Man, when those dudes aren't doing something, you're probably going to lose the Blazers. Klay put them away in this as well. Blazers came all the way back. Klay's like, gotcha. So the coward, Kevin Durant had 28 points, Klay had 24, and the Warriors just keep fucking rolling. Now 22-6, half a game back from the aforementioned Rockets. And finally, Raptors go into Los Angeles and, did they smoke the Clippers? No, they didn't. The Raptors lose to the horrible, horrible Clips. And we called this yesterday on NBA Australia here, so maybe listen to us sometimes perhaps, eh? Hey, yeah, look at that. Too much time in LA equals a loss. Raps lose. Jonas Valanciunas had 23-15. A massive one. My name is Jonas. He's carrying the whale, I guess. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, though. This is where it sank for the Raps. They combined to go 9 of 26. Lowry went 0 of 8 from 3. Jesus, Kyle. With that big old booty. DJ, DeAndre Jordan had 14-17. But it was the Clips bench that got them here. Lou Will had 17. Montrezl Harrell had 17. Sam Decker had 12. All off the bench. Nice one, Clips. they've stymied the blood loss. 5-5 in their last 10, only 10-15 overall, and still just hanging around behind the Thunder in the playoff chase. So they're currently 10th in the West, and then everybody else after them, apart from maybe Memphis, are actively not good at basketball. So tough one. All right, let's kick it on. Let's get to the NBA Straya approved performance of the night. This is a knife, James Harden. Holy shit. 26 and 17. As mentioned, 11 of those 17 assists came to Clint Capella on alley-oop lobs. It was amazing just to watch him run this game. Like, that's what he did. He ran it from the start. And then when they came back, it's like him and Chris Paul, there's just nowhere to escape. Every time the Pelicans looked around, it's like, oh, god damn it. One of these motherfuckers got the ball and they're both really good. It's what happens, man. It's what happens. But Capella was unreal. 28 and 8, as mentioned, and 5 blocks. Jesus. But Harden just fucking was like, you know what? Yeah, you should probably just give me the MVP. Come on. Honorable mentions for last night, though. As mentioned, go to Jrue Holiday at 37, 4, and 5, and Etuan more, 36, 3, and 3. That's pretty good. Y'all deserve a...
That's a knife.
All right, who's old mate, no mates today in NBA Australia land? Who has no mates today? Well, this would be Carmelo Anthony. Dude, questions are being asked finally. It's like, wait, so did the Thunder really need to make that trade for Carmelo over there? They could probably use a bit of depth. They could use Dougie McBuckets and Enes the Penis Cantor. Meanwhile, Melo is just throwing up dirty 11 twos and twos and having an absolute shit of a time, which is, not a giant surprise considering, well, he old. And his game doesn't really mesh well with the other kids, you know what I'm saying? It's a bit of a tough one. So in his last 5 games, he's gone 9 points, 14, 11, 21 in the win against Memphis, but Memphis are fucking shit, and 11 points. So, Mello, you got to kick this into gear, man. Shooting 33% from the field in those last 5. Crops. Not good. So everybody's questioning, why is Mello on this team? And it's like, well, they'll figure it out. I don't know, we're a third of the way through the fucking season. Mello, you got to start figuring this out. Where's Olympic Mello? Come on. Everyone loses their fucking mind about Hoodie Mello. Then they actually watch him play and they go, oh yeah, it's still just Mello though, isn't it? Tricky. All right, let's get to it. It's better than Lonzo Ball for today.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Well, coming for everybody in Lithuania. I mean, that was some news at the top as well that we could have talked about, but it's not really to do anything with the NBA. Lonzo Ball's brothers, LiAngelo and LaMelo, are playing in Lithuania. And, shouts to them for their dad ruining their lives. Good on you. This is our daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. Obviously, Lonzo hasn't played, or didn't play. Lakers have had a very quiet stretch, which is kind of cool. But who was hashtag better than Lonzo Ball? Give me some Bam Adebayo for fucking Miami, man. Basically, Bam, the 14th pick in the NBA draft last year, is just out there smashing for Miami off the bench. He had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. That's basically the 10th best game by a rookie with a line all-encompassing. Like, there's only been 10 other games as good as that this year. And you know what? 4 of them were by Ben Simmons, 3 of them were by Jason Tatum, and then the other 3 were Dennis Smith and Dylan Brooks, and, of course, Lonzo Ball with his triple-double, I think. Pretty good. Lonzo plays in NYC for the first time tonight, though, so everyone's losing their minds. We're going to talk about that when we get to the NBA game previews. But Bam Adebayo, today you are hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. All right, y'all ready? We're coming up with some yenas, and we're talking a bit of look at me, and some Shane Hill just up. In a little bit. It's coming up right next. All right, man. How good is this? NBA Australia. Y'all ready? Let's do some yeah-nahs. It's yeah-nah. We have 3 yeah-nahs. 3 NBA storylines that get a yeah-nah. And we figure out if it's more yeah or more nah. First up, Celtics fans should be excited about Gordon Hayward being a couple of weeks away from getting his walking boot off completely and totally, says Danny Ainge.
Yeah, nah.
No, fuck. Celtics fans, tamp down the expectations. Come on. It's an injury. You're doing so well without the guy. Like, maybe just fucking breathe. Just breathe. And, you know, enjoy this while it's happening without sitting there staring off into the distance and going, wow, what if Gordon Hayward comes back? It's like, I don't know. When he comes back, he's still going to be all fucking like, yo, did you see what my fucking foot looked like? Damn, son. I'm trying to, like, walk proper, not just play basketball. So I kind of feel like it'd be better if the Celtics had been like, dude is out for the season. And he ain't coming back. And Celtics fans could be like, all right, sick. We've got Jaylen Brown. We've got Jason Tatum. We're going to get excited. We've got Shemi Ojeleye over here. What up, Shemi? Terry Rose. And instead, they kind of just got this specter of Gordon Hayward sitting over the top of everything. And, you know, it's this kind of weird mix of, like, hope and expectation sitting there as well. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, you should just be thankful for fucking being 23-6 at the moment. Come on, dudes. Pay attention. But that's enough for me. I don't like this whole Gordon Hayward could come back shit. It's just a fool's errand, if you ask me. Number two on the Yeah Nahs, Matt Barnes retired, and he was the best teammate ever.
Yeah, nah. Kind of, yeah.
I mean, as long as he was on your team, you knew you had someone on your team that if you got into a fight was going to jump in. Of course, this is when he wasn't leaving your team to drive around and beat the shit out of Derek Fisher. But fuck, man, I love me some Matt Barnes. I just want to talk about him one more time. I've got one more time to talk about him as well coming up. And finally, do Indy belong in the top 10 of the NBA power rankings, which they have popped all this week?
Yeah, nah, yeah, of course.
They've won 4 in a row, 7 of the last 10. They've beaten the Cavs, Celtics, Raptors, and Pistons in their last 12 games. So, of course, Indy are fucking hot as hell. Dude, I love this. They're fifth at the moment. I had them pegged for, like, not even probably the 16 wins that they have at the moment. They're 16-11. And, of course, Victor Oladipo is going fucking mental, which I love because, you know, he's unreal. And, well, that gets us to... Look at me. Would you just look at me? Come on.
Look at me.
We need more Matt Barnes types. Come on, man. I got to keep talking about Matt Barnes. We need more Matt Barnes to get weirdos like the coward Kevin Durant honest. Do you really think the coward would be out there talking shit and trying to fight Matt Barneses? Man, the coward Kevin Durant is not about that life. You need a couple of guys like that sprinkled throughout the NBA, I think, just to keep a balance of crazy in the NBA and to also... weirdly enough, kind of keep the peace because it keeps the fake tough guys from running rampant and being fake tough guys all the time. Because when you actually have a real tough guy like Matt Barnes, the fake tough guys go, oh, yeah, no, I'm good. I'll stop complaining. And that's what you want. I need more of those. So I need just a couple of them. Make four. There's 30 teams. Can we have four Matt Barneses? Gonna miss you, Matt Barnes. Gonna miss you. All right, it's what we've all been waiting for. You know it. It's only because I'm a nerd. Yeah, you know it. But I need the Shane Heal Memorial Shoot Your Shot Random Guy's Amazing Performance Hall of Fame. And this time we're going to go back in time because I'm a because... we're going to go to 1989. It's Dale Ellis time, y'all. Love me some Dale Ellis. I mean, it's not obvious from the Larry Armour Studios covered in Seattle Supersonics propaganda. But when playing for my Seattle Supersonics in 1989, the dude, Dale Ellis, went fucking bananas against the Bucks in one of the most insane games in NBA history. It went to 5 overtimes this game. 5 overtimes. It's November 8th, I think, 1989. Dude goes absolutely fucking like bananas because when you have 5 overtimes, it eventually ends up with a scoreline of 155 to 154. Can you believe that? You score 154 points in the game and you lose by 1. Jesus. Brutal. Anyway, Dale Ellis had 53 points. This is where he becomes the Shane Hill Memorial Shoot Your Shot Random Guys Amazing Performance Hall of Fame entrant, because 53 points on 39 attempts is absolutely bananas. There is a very short list of games, NBA games, with people attempting 39 field goals or more. He only took 7 threes as well, which is crazy because Dale Ellis was one of the best 3-point shooters in the NBA at the time. It was just a different time.
It was a different time back then in the NBA.
5 OT, so he ended up playing 69. Nice. Minutes. That's absolutely fucking bananas. So, good job, Dale Ellis. 53 points. I love the extra sort of extra stuff over here is that the X-Man, Xavier McDaniel, also had 27 attempts and scored 37 in this game, next to our old mate Derek McKee, the now Indiana coach, Nate McMillan, and Michael Cage. Awesome. Well, with those 53 points, Dale Ellis, you are our Shane Hill Memorial Shoot Your Shot Random Crazy Statline Guy Amazing Performance Hall of Fame entrant for this week. Yeah, I'm feeling it. All right, NBA Australia, we're going to crack along to the NBA Australia Australian Player Watch.
Just up right now.
All right, y'all ready? Come on, Australian Player Watch. Do it. Ben Simmons didn't play last night. Believe he plays the T-Wolves tonight, though. That'll be a fun one. We'll talk about that in the game previews.
Game previews.
Patty Mills plays the Mavs tonight. Joe Ingles, got a rest. Good on you, Joey. Dalian Thon also have a rest. No Milwaukee game tonight. Aaron Baines last night played the Bulls. How'd you go, big fella? He is all of Australia, don't forget. Well, yeah, not a bad game. 10 points, 5 or 6 shooting, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 turnovers, though. And that'll sink you. Celtics now go to 15-3 with Baines in the starting lineup. Can't believe they lost to the Bulls. That is absolutely bogus. Speaking of bogus, Andrew Bogut. How's that? Hey, segue! The Lakers play the Knicks tonight, which is going to be fucking great at MSG. That's going to be fun as hell. And there you go. We've whooped around all the Australian players, apart from one. We're going to get to that. How about our daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Oh, yeah. God damn it. He sure is. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, Kyrie. Well, as mentioned, he sat out the Bulls game with a left quad contusion. So hopefully he'll be back and it was just a bit of a rest for Kyrie. He gets the mask off soon too. But we have a new addition to the Australian Player Watch. Because luckily enough, it's actually Tuesday, which is when we would always have the Mangok Mathiang check-in. Cool thing is, our man got called up. That's right. Mangok Mathiang is back in the NBA. He's back with the big league team at the moment because Cody Zeller of the Charlotte Hornets is ruled out indefinitely with an MCL tear. He had surgery. So Mangok got called up to the big because he was playing for the Greensboro Swarm, don't forget. And for the Swarm, he was playing 24.1 minutes per game and had been averaging 10 points and 8.5 rebounds for the Swarm. Anya. So he's had 3 minutes of NBA playing time this season. Now we might get some more. Come on, Mangok! Give him hell, son! I fucking love him. So hopefully, we have a new daily edition, at least for a little while, to the NBA Australian Player Watch with Mangok. It's going to be fun as hell, huh? Fun as hell. All right, almost there. Going to get to the game previews in just a second and the Patty Mills game day baller. Game day inspiration board, because you know, Patty Mills is an inspiring dude, my boys. All right, let's go. Coming up right now. All right, the Patty Mills game day bowler, game day inspiration board. What's Patty Mills got to say? Okay, so Patty Mills is responding to people. He put up a very, very, very cool video of him singing and playing guitar, and the Fiji New South Wales Cup bid apparently retweeted it. Well, they might have put it out. That's very cool. Anya, that's very good. So he's responding to someone saying, pulling out the gat and playing Nokumasu. Stop it. I like it. Hashtag Tosu Balatosu. Patty Mills then responded, haha, hashtag Tosu Balatosu. Ha, Tosu Balatosu. Game day baller, game day. Love it, Vinaka. Clap, clap, clap emojis. On ya, Patty Mills. You're an inspiring dude. I fucking love him. How good is that? All right, let's get to some Dirty Big. game previews. We're going to whip around each NBA game on the NBA slate for tonight. It's Wiz at Nets. No John Wall, and I want no bar of this. Jahlil Okafor, though, will be debuting for the Nets, apparently, which is kind of cool. Also cool that he took number 4. Okafor. Very nice. Give me... I think the Wiz are just still a little bit too good, so I think the Wiz win that one. Hawks at Cavs. Jesus Christ, man. Literally 2 years ago, this is the Eastern Conference Finals. How quickly it falls. This is what Cavs fans need to appreciate, this LeBron era to the max, right? Like, it can end quickly and brutally. Just look at Atlanta. Man. Also, just look at OKC when they went to the finals. Like, man, a couple of injuries here and there, and it can just fucking go to shit. Hawks at Cavs, though. Give me the Cavs. Nuggets at Pistons. Pistons are out here trying to snap a 6-game losing streak. Everybody fawned over how great they were, and then Pistons went, oh, wait, you know what? We're the Detroit Pistons. We're not good. Jesus. Nuggets are still somehow 14-12 without Jokic and Millsap, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. So, yeah, man. I see you out there, Jamal Murray. I see you. You and Gary Harris. Both y'all. But give me the Pistons. I think they get one back on the board. Lakers at Knicks. Oh! Marky, matchup alert. How good is this? Lonzo Ball versus the Latvian gangbanger. But Jesus, man. You know that Kristaps is going to have like 40 points in this one because he just definitely is. How the Lakers playing the that old defense over there? Not great. Maybe Bogut gets a bit of time against Kristaps though. But shit, man. Bogut trying to chase Kristaps around? Ugh. Don't like the sound of that. Give me the Knicks in that one, though. No, Lakers mean good, so give me the Lakers. I mean, sure. All right, Spurs and Mavs. Spurs at Mavs. This old-timey rivals. It's pretty good, isn't it? Poor Rick Carlisle. How much heart medication do you think he's going through at the moment? He's like, I don't want to fucking do this. Come on, man. His 5-year contract says otherwise, though. No Dennis Smith Jr. in this one, though. This is a bummer. He's got no timetable on his return from a hip strain. Hopefully it's just day to day and he won't be back. He'll be back soon enough. One last Dirk go around against Manu and Tony and Pop. Love this. Just old timey rivals. Just old pugilists squaring off against each other in the ring while Mark Cuban sits over there clapping delightedly and pouting when it doesn't go his way. Spurs win this, especially if Kawhi comes back. And that'd be the big thing. If Kawhi is back, damn, man. Add Kawhi to like a, 17 and 18? And Jesus, I think you'll be doing all right. 19 and 8. God damn. Yeah, give me Spurs. All right, Sixers at T-Wolves. Almost as fun as that Lakers-Knicks game. Holy crap. Some young dudes. Hopefully Joel Embiid is healthy enough to come back because squaring off against big Cal Anthony Towns over there would be pretty fucking amazing. Two unicorns. Going at it. That'd be awesome. I love that shit. Wiggins and Simmons as well. Ben Simmons, you fucking, the Lord and Savior, going against Wiggins and Taj Gibson and co. That'd be fun as hell. So two fun young teams, man. This should be an absolute corker. But you just know that one of them is going to shit the bed. It's just tough. And I must say, the Sixers shit the bed in this one. I think the T-Wolves are going to get it. The Sixers, they've lost 4 straight. And it's just a little bit tough. Whereas Minnesota, you know, they're 16-11. They're just sort of, again, stymied the bleeding. So, tough one, man. Tough one. Yeah, but give me the T-Wolves. All right, finally, Suns at Kings. Oh, this is not good. Jesus. Suns at Kings. Whose idea was this to have this as a game? It's like a new Rob Mills YouTube show. Ain't no one gonna watch this one. Fuck me. Give me the Suns. The Kings are a fucking shit show. And George Hill is now out there talking about, hey, the guy who was in charge, he's like, hey, George Hill, I want you to take all this money. Also, we're going to compete for playoffs. George Hill went, I'll take that money. And of course, we should be competing for playoffs. That's what teams do. I'm not entirely sure if George Hill looked at the rest of the Sacramento Kings like roster, however. Because if he did, I'm not entirely sure how George Hill then went, oh, yes, we can compete for the playoffs. The lesson, as always, is don't be like George Hill. Don't be dumb. Don't ever trust Sacramento. What are y'all doing? All right, give me the Suns in that one. And you know what? That's pretty good. It's pretty good. We've wrapped up all those games, and that means we're at the end of the goddamn show, son. That has been NBA Australia for today. We'll be back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. You know it. It just doesn't stop. It just does not stop. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia and like us over at Facebook, NBA Australia as well. Don't forget, and Insta as well. Go on. Don't forget that you ought to be subscribed on iTunes and or Google Play. And while you're at it, while you're making sure, just chuck us a nice 5-star rating. Come on. And a review there while you're there. Come on, just there. Hey, this Australian dickhead's a bit of a dickhead, eh? Come on, help us out. Anyway, thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, their new band. They're the best band in Australia. Also, go vote for them in this year's Hottest 100 if you're in Australia, or even if you're not in Australia. Google Hottest 100 and find House Hats and then vote for them. What a song altogether. Oh, man. You'll love it. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for their tunes you heard sort of as beds and throughout the episode. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. Green Green Green, Ramshackle Army, and Fascinator. You'll love it. All right, and that's it from me. Stick around for Joe Ingles, HR manager, and we will catch yous tomorrow. Later, hosen! G'day, it's Joe Ingles here for your weekly swing past the old NBA Australia office to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Because, don't forget, I didn't go to uni just to play basketball. No, no sir, I did not. I also majored in human resources as well. So, I'm the most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic. Because after all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. Okay, let's get to today's question. All right, this question comes from L. James in Cleveland. Hey, Joe. Oh, hell there. Hey there, L. James in Cleveland. I am struggling with a decision and could use your help. Well, Mr. James, I'm here to help. Workplace HR is, after all, the backbone of any successful enterprise. So, I've experienced a lot of success in my career. Oh, well, good for you, L. James. I'm very proud of you. But it is beginning to feel like a bit of a drag in my current position. I left this company a while back and copped some flack for it, but then I returned. And ever since, life has been good. And I'm widely thought of as the best person in my profession. Oh, that does sound nice, doesn't it? Let's read on. But I can feel it stagnating. I've even brought in old friends of mine to make this organization feel more palatable. But I've still got reservations about management and the owner of the company. Well, that is a bit of a problem, I'll tell you that. Anyway, on you go. And there have been other employees who have left this company and gone on to great success away from me. That hurts my feelings and makes me wonder about my position in this organization. So I'm wondering if it's worth looking into moving to another organization to solidify my status long term, perhaps somewhere south where it's warm. I don't know, like Houston or LA. Friends of mine work there already and say it's really nice. Anyway, you're the expert. What do you think, Joe? Thanks for your time. L. James, Cleveland. Well, thank you for your letter, Mr. James. This is a very tricky situation and one where HR becomes very important. Because if you don't have clear lines of communication between yourself, management, and ownership, things can get very tricky very quickly. Perhaps if you simply need them to indicate your value to the company in form of some sort of performance-based incentives, perhaps some gift cards for meeting KPIs or some such, that could smooth out the situation. Either way, I'd suggest talking to management about your role with the organization and looking at your own needs moving forward into the future. And if those paths diverge, perhaps you might be wise to look to greener pastures. Still, communication with management and HR can't be underestimated. In any workplace, they can be the difference between you succeeding or failing in any role that you have. And especially if you have friends with you in your current role, you have to balance your business relationships with your personal ones. And it can be very, very tricky. Anyway, the bottom line is you've got to put yourself in the best position to succeed in your line of work. That means thinking positively and making the most of your human resources. Okay, that's all I got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the HR Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.